taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
You know, when I was a child, public schools were generally safe places to be. Sure, sometimes bad things happened, and sometimes people even got hurt. But I doubt my mother worried about my sister and I, at least that much, when we were in school. Today, however, government-run schools are just not safe. I'm not talking about any of the recent school shootings. I'm talking about something much, much more sinister. See, when there's been a school shooting, it was generally a student or someone from the outside that was the perpetrator. It was someone outside the school, generally, coming in to do harm, or as a student. But that's not the case today. You see, Reagan warned us. He said, freedom is not passed on in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and then passed on to the next generation. Well, what's being passed on to the next generation is not freedom. Just take a look at what passes for education in government schools today. And you'll see that the long-term danger to our children is not coming from the outside. And it's not coming from the students. It is coming from teachers and administrators. In other words, the destruction of our country starts with our schools, and it's an inside job. Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel, and today I want to look at how unsafe our schools are, our public schools, our government schools, not based on the shootings that everybody seems to be focusing on, but the number of other things that are destroying our schools, have destroyed our schools, are destroying our nation from the inside out. Now, how is this happening? See, somewhere along the line, we as Americans decided that at roughly the age of 5, we're going to take our children, hand them over to government to educate them. And then we walked away. At least when I was young, my mother was still somewhat involved in the school. My mother used to volunteer at the school. She actually was, in fifth grade, she was a volunteer in the classroom. She saw exactly what I was being taught. As I got older, my parents were still involved in what was going on and what was being taught. And that seems to have been, well, it seems to be stopping today. See, we wonder why we take our children, and once they're in school for a few years, they seem to change. Well, it's simple. I mean, let's say you take a child for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, and you put them in a situation that is beyond education, that is truly indoctrination. And it starts with little things. Well, for example, remember the infamous mask mandates, the kids being forced to wear masks in school? Now, there was no evidence that the kids were in danger of contracting COVID, that if they got COVID, they were in serious danger of serious illness or death, or that they ever transmitted COVID to the teachers. Yet we many government-run schools forced our children to wear masks, delaying development, increasing CO2 levels in their system. And we're finding more and more detrimental effects because a government bureaucrat said, in order to attend, we mandate you go to school. We have laws in all 50 states that say you must attend school. We get the government to subsidize an entire branch of the school. 90% of students go to a government school. And then we say, you must follow our rules. Forget laws, forget regulations. We are going to indoctrinate you to simply do as you are told or you're punished. Now, we thought we'd been done, but guess what? The superintendent of the public schools in Portland, Maine, wrote a letter to the parents saying that they're going to once again require masks indoors and on school buses. The masks have nothing to do with them. There's no medical science that masks do anything against a respiratory virus. but it doesn't matter because it's indoctrination. It is a push to get you to comply. You will do as you're told. So when some genius comes along and says, hey, let's take a five-year-old, let's stick them in a classroom and start getting them schoolwork to do. We're surprised when five-year-olds, they're not really good at it. That you know, many five-year-olds, you know, to sit in a classroom, to fill out paperwork, to do studies. But do we look at this and say, maybe five-year-olds shouldn't be put into a classroom? Maybe they should be let out free to go play and explore? No. We determined that when a five-year-old cannot sit for long periods of time and concentrate, well, they have ADHD. We've turned being a child into a disease. And of course, the answer is never to say, maybe the government process is wrong. No. The answer is you put them on drugs. See, if they won't comply to our processes, we must drug them into compliance. And you look at the skyrocketing rates of ADHD diagnoses. I contend that most of these are not ADHD. They're young children, especially young boys, who naturally want to be active, want to be energetic, who want to be out running and playing and exploring and falling down and getting bumps and scrapes and crying. And that's what being a young child is supposed to be about. But no, we tell them to sit and be quiet and be attentive, to not go out. And then we wonder why when they become teenagers, they're fat. Because they've been told, comply, sit quietly, sit still, don't go out and play, do, you know, follow the rules. And if you won't, we're going to drug you into compliance. See, there's a reason why my daughter never went. Well, she's been a public school. She went there for the required standardized testing. And she took swimming lessons in the high school swimming pool. That was it. 20 years ago, my wife and I decided we were not going to inflict government school on our children. We have one daughter. She was homeschooled. That was our choice. That was our solution. Because the schools are less, they seem to be less about educating children and more about controlling them, making it easier for the teachers. But that's just the appetizer. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much more. There's a student out of Union College in upstate New York. I'm familiar with this school. She's been given 3 days to pack up her belongings and leave. Why? Well, because she refused to get a COVID booster shot. Well, Paul, but understand, this isn't a hypothetical problem. She has experienced serious adverse reactions to the second Pfizer jab. And now the school's saying, either get a third or you're out. Another, again, a failed treatment. Failed. Yes, failed. The quote-unquote vaccines, these mRNA jabs, do not protect you from COVID. They do not prevent you from spreading COVID within a few weeks to a month or two after you receive the jab. They are failed. Her college career is being terminated because she would rather not deal with the serious reactions. What are some of these serious reactions? Well, the article I found in the Epoch Times doesn't give details, but it does say one thing. This student ended up in the emergency room, and she's continuing to deal with the after effects of the second Pfizer jab, and the school wants her to have a third. Now, I don't remember if Union College is a public or private school, but these standards are being set, in many cases, by government education bureaucrats. They're more interested in getting compliance with the jab than in looking at the medical effects, the medical science. And that's what's happening. She's not going to get to go to Union College because she'd rather be, she's not going to suffer the consequences again. But again, that's college. What about primary and secondary schools? See, teachers in San Francisco were recorded on a Zoom meeting discussing what happens when the parents ask the teachers to use the child's given name and biologically correct pronouns. Yet one teacher offered their experience. The parents stated, according to this, to the recording, to the interview, "I know you were using a different name than my child's given name at birth and the pronouns we gave them, and I am respectfully asking that you use the name and pronouns we gave them." The teacher proudly described her defiance. She said, "In my classroom, I'll refer to your child by whatever name and pronouns that I've told, that they've told me they feel most comfortable with." They're not your children, at least not in the minds of teachers like this. But it gets even worse. See, now we're seeing more and more evidence of teachers hiding this information from the parents. Schools being set up with transition closets where students can change their clothes outside of the watchful eye of the parents. A system designed to hide what the children's going through. To hide their decisions, their actions, what they're doing from the parents. Why? One simple reason. I see only one simple reason. The belief that the children don't belong to the parents. The parents have no right. It is up to government officials, because we're talking about government schools, government paid bureaucrats that are deciding for your children what is and isn't allowed, and then hiding it from the parents. Tell me, ladies and gentlemen, why would you send your children to a place like that? There's an old saying, right? If you roll with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. Well, guess what? If you take your impressionable children and you send them to places that are indoctrinating them into perverse, disabling, disastrous, and dangerous ideologies, they are going to be crippled for the rest of their life. Now, if you believe your son or daughter, I don't know, is trans or believe in this stuff, and that's what you want to teach them, well, that's your right as a parent. But let me ask you this. Let's say you're a homosexual or a transsexual, and your children went to school and their teacher behind your back was teaching them that you are evil, sinful, and that the children should be taken away, that the children have nothing to do with what you believe. How would you react? Can you understand why the 99% of Americans that understand that this transgender nonsense is a mental disorder are not willing to sit by, or shouldn't be willing to sit by, while you indoctrinate their children with this nonsense? And yes, this is nonsense. It makes no sense. It's an irrational position. It comes from decades of giving everybody everything they want. Everybody gets a participation trophy. Everybody wins. Nobody is wrong. So even when you say 2 + 2 = 5, no, that can't be marked as wrong. And when the president of the United States hires somebody with an obvious mental problem, like Rachel Levine, and puts them in a position as Assistant Secretary for Health, and falsely claims it's the first woman to hold this, that dude's not a woman. He looks like a woman, sorta. But this came up, this idea is being promoted in schools, and your children are being indoctrinated into this idea that the world must morph to whatever they think, whatever they believe. And the people responsible for protecting our children are either the ones indoctrinating and harming our children, or hiding it from their parents. I could not trust a child in a government-run school today, because government schools have shown to be deadly damaging to our children. And we are reaping the whirlwind from allowing this to go on for as long as it has. Now, before I head off to my break, I want to remind you to check out HealthyCell.com. They are a leading innovator on supplements for health, health that works at the cellular level. They've reinvented the vitamin, making it more effective, making it easier to use. Now, they've got a lot of different formulas. Personally, one of the ones I love is the Focus and Recall. You know, you get to the end of the day and you get the brain fog, right? The fuzzies. You're having a hard time focusing. You're having a hard time getting the work done. Maybe you reach for an energy drink or an energy shot. Then you find out they're full of caffeine and sugar. They give you a buzz, but then they give you a crash. Well, Healthy Cells Focus and Recall boosts your short-term focus, helps your long-term brain power without the caffeine and the sugar. In other words, it's just nutritional supplements in a travel-ready gel pack. I use these regularly when I have to get through the day and the mind's just wandering. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, they will give you 20% off your first order, but you got to do something. So you go to their website, healthycell.com, put together your cart. When you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. See, it tells Healthy Cell that you listen to America Out Loud Talk Radio, and they're going to give you 20% off for doing so. But it also shows them that you listen to the Constitution Study and gives them reason to continue to support the work that we're doing here. So again, head to healthycell.com, put together your order, try the Focus and Recall, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout for 20% off that first order.
Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's healthycell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I'm glad you rejoined us here at the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about the fact that our government schools are not safe. And I'm not talking about school shootings. I'm talking about the damage they have done to generations and the damage they are doing to generations yet to come. I've told you before about the story of a young mother I talked to who was distraught because her child, I think the child was only like 8 years old at the time, was given sexually explicit instruction in class. She did what we would all think is the right thing, right? She went to the principal. She complained. She wanted to know why she was not given the opportunity to opt out. And the principal said, well, we find if we opt parents out, if we allow them to opt out, they tend to do so. Well, see, there at least it seems like the situation was the exception. The perversion was the exception, not the rule. But how many times, how often must this happen before we have to assume that government-run schools are little pervert factories? See, a Pennsylvania school hosted a drag show for the children, and they did so without parents' permission. That's right. A Lancaster, Pennsylvania school allowed an LGBTQ club to stage a drag show on school property without parents' permission. Now, I wonder why they said without parents' permission. Could it be like the principal? Well, we find that if we have to get parents' permission, they tend to opt out. Yeah. But this is just the latest. How many stories must we see of transition closets, of drag shows, of drag queen story hour before we realize that our government institutions, including our schools, are trying to turn our children into little perverts, destroying the idea of man and woman, of the wonderful complementary powers of men and women, destroying the idea of the family. The family is no longer a mother, a father, children. No. It's whatever people want. But it's more than that. See, it's not simply that the children are allowed to be exposed to this. This is being promoted. This is people in our schools overriding the parents and promoting our children into this way of lifestyle. Then there's a school board meeting in Clark County, Nevada, where a mother got up and recited a lesson that she alleges her daughter was forced to memorize and recite. Well, except after she got started, shortly thereafter, they had to cut off the mother's mic. Why? Because the material her daughter was forced to memorize and recite was obscene. They cut the microphone, the mother's microphone, for obscene language. But according to the mother, that's what's being taught in school. What's being taught in school is so offensive, the school board won't allow it during their meetings, but they want it promoted to the schools. You know, school boards used to be responsible to the parents. The parents used to be involved. They used to demand accountability. Now they're more worried about what the idiots at the State House or Washington, D.C. are saying. Because we, the people, have allowed these schools to change from public schools to government schools. These are no longer public schools because the public is not involved in the education process. They're government schools because the government is in control of the education process. Now, if you have children in these government-run schools, I would highly recommend that you review what they're being taught. Because if every jot and tittle of what's being taught cannot be spoken of in the school board, the problem is the school board. They are allowing this type of material in the classroom. And it's about time parents stand up and learn something. It's about time parents stopped being passive and ignorant of what is happening to their children. Children are blessings. Okay, yeah, there are a lot of hardship. There are a lot of work, but they're a blessing, and they are your responsibility to raise. And when you hand them over to government, you can't be surprised when they're taught to be little government stooges. How about the group in Texas? A parental rights group is calling on the Texas State Board of Education to change an online curriculum because they're saying it encourages withholding information from parents about the child's mental and physical health. When I was in school, they couldn't give me an aspirin without my parents' permission. They could only send me to an emergency room if I was seriously injured without my parents' permission. I wasn't allowed to go to the doctor without my parents' permission. Here you have curriculum that seems to be, and again, they're alleging that it encourages teachers to withhold vital information about a child's mental and physical health from the parent. Now, as a parent, you are a grown adult. But if you are allowing this to be inflicted on your child, what is your responsibility here? Is it just to sit back and say, well, they're the experts. We just let them do whatever they want because, you know, they have a degree. Now you know how we end up in this mess, where you have people who can't tell the difference, who can't define a man and a woman, who can't tell the difference between a boy and a girl. But again, this keeps going. I'm still getting started, folks. Because it's not simply a disagreement about something. They're being taught, they're being trained to not allow a difference of opinion. They are being trained to bully and intimidate to get their way. For example, at a recent commencement ceremony, Wyoming Senator Cynthia Lummis was talking about government overreach. And she pointed out one simple, inalienable fact. There are two genders. Now, how you act is different, but there are two, sorry, she said two sexes. Let me get this right. She didn't say gender, she said two sexes, male and female. For this, she was booed. College graduates booing the idea that there are two sexes. Now, if you want to get into a discussion about how men and women dress, how men and women act, how men and women interact, that's one thing. But to deny the physical reality that there's a male and there's a female, and whenever you have something that is different, like on the very rare occasions when a person has both male and female attributes, that is an aberration, that is not normal. But the idea that you boo somebody for stating an obvious, scientifically proven fact. This comes from years of indoctrination, of whatever you want. You want there to be 47 sexes? Be my guest. Be 47 sexes. You want to be a boy and you want to go into the girls' room? Be my guest. But you see, parents sometimes feel like they're stuck. What are we going to do? Well, parents are not stuck. We are not powerless. But we've let this go so long that, you know, we let the problem metastasize from a small cancer that could have easily been dealt with into something that's threatening the life of our country, to the point now where the treatment may cost you quite a bit. Take for example, I'm going to mispronounce your name, and I don't mean to. Asra Normani, I believe. She's a mother. She's a single mom. And she went before the Fairfax County School Board to, as she puts it, give an impassioned speech about how Asian Americans are being treated. She sits down when she noticed security officials coming towards her from multiple directions. It's interesting because she points out she's looking at other moms from other countries, where citizens are jailed and punished for challenging authority. What is she going to do? She did the one thing she could point out at the time. She was dealing with a school board that claimed that they were all about, you know, putting down white supremacy and caring about culture, sicking white men on an Asian Muslim single mom. She used the best tool she had at the time. She looked at each, she pointed at each official, said, "You're a white man, you're a white man, you're a white man." See, the mothers there understood the hypocrisy. The other mothers in the room were calling out the hypocrisy. They pointed to the school board as racist, racist, racist. At which point the school board fled. They called for a 15-minute recess and off they went. And everyone's like, yay! Guess what? The very next day, she got a phone call from her boss. He was the president of Parents Defending Education. And she was told by the director of outreach for Parents Defending Education that who had seen a video of what she'd done the night before and scolded her, saying it was unacceptable. And a week and a day after pointing out the hypocrisy and racism in the school board, she was fired. She was fired from her job at Parents Defending Education for being a parent defending education. There will be costs. Now, and some of them you may not be able to get back. For example, a professor at Concordia University in Wisconsin published an academic essay critiquing identity politics, for which he was summarily fired, banned from campus, put on an administrative leave. And even with all the calls of overreach and all that, still has not been returned to his position. Because he stood up against, he published a paper on identity politics. There's also a University of South Carolina that had an application for one of their programs that restricted it to students of certain races and ethnicities. Now, a University of Michigan professor said that he filed a Title VI complaint over that particular application. Now, the university has since kind of quietly changed the application to not be quite so blatant in their racism, in their use of identity politics to get to an end that they desire. Or how about the Indiana University Medical School that plans on adding a diversity, equity, and inclusion credential for professors to be promoted and tenured? So in other words, the people teaching medicine to the next generation are not the ones with the best skills. No, they're the ones with the best racial heritage. See, when I say I want the best doctor, not the best black doctor, the best Chinese doctor, the best Mexican doctor. I want the best doctor. I'm called a racist. But when we have a school that says, oh, no, we're going to give you special treatment because of the color of your skin, they're not racist. This is insane. But this is the irrationality that we've trained into our children. We've allowed government schools to indoctrinate them into the idea that judging people by race is not racist, but wanting the best is racist. Wanting the best regardless of race is racist. This truly is newspeak. This is 1984, absolutely backwards. This is bizarro world, but this is what happens from decades of allowing our children to be indoctrinated into this nonsense. Or how about a different example? A student at Michigan's Oakland University received a religious exemption from the COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccine mandate. This would allow her to have, housing on campus without getting the jab. And she committed the crime of actually posting the exemption in a private Facebook group. She told others what happened. The university deemed this collusion or conspiracy. Yeah, you know what? It's a collusion. It is conspiracy. It's conspiracy for freedom. For the rule of law. But again, what do we see? We see people that have spent decades being indoctrinated and trained. You do what government says. You don't question government. You listen to government. And whatever you do not challenge government. Government is mother. Government is father. Bureaucrats lead us. This is the danger of government schools. Now, I realize not everybody can homeschool the way my wife and I did. Not everybody can afford private schools. Not everybody can get into charter schools. But this idea that as a parent, you can live your life disconnected from the indoctrination your children are receiving and expect them to grow up whole, healthy, freedom-loving people is insane. Let me point out one very important point. See, you're training your children. You're allowing your children to be trained a certain way. These are the same children that will one day most likely pick your nursing home. Now look at what they're being trained in and ask yourself, what type of nursing home will they put you in? Now I have to take another break, but before I do, I want to remind you, you can listen to the Constitution Study live 5 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Listen on our media player or our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can also hear the recordings, podcasts. Listen on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. And do me a favor when you do, though. Subscribe, share, and leave a rating. Help other people find the Constitution Study. Help other people find the lessons that we're bringing forth. Help other people realize they're not alone in this, that there are others that are interested in freedom and liberty.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday American, to rejoin the Constitution Study. Today we're discussing just how unsafe our government schools are. Again, we're not talking about the shootings. We're talking about everything else that goes in there. You remember the letter from the National School Board Association to the White House? The one that wanted parents who stood up to school boards and voiced their opinions to be labeled as domestic terrorists and investigated? Well, apparently there's an earlier draft that's come to light that says they actually wanted the Army National Guard and its military police to detain, to be deployed, I should say, in certain school districts in order to protect them. These are fascist tyrants. This is, we're just going to be government bullies and fascist tyrants. If you challenge what we say, we'll get the military after you. Do you want to know why we have a Second Amendment? Do you know why it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state? Just for that. If the United States, if the military, if the National Guard have been called up into service of the United States to do this, it would be the role of the state militia to oppose them. They were violating the Constitution. They were violating federal law. But here we are. That's why we need to be able to protect ourselves. Now, there is a parent rights group that's, quote unquote, demanding accountability for what they did. Now, there have been reports of state school board associations pulling out. I don't know what else is going to happen. What really should be accountable is President Biden should be investigated. Attorney General Merrick Garland should be investigated for violating the Constitution, for weaponizing the FBI against parents who had not committed a crime, who had not even talked about committing a crime. But you see, that's the state of indoctrination. In government school, if you want to be a pervert, if you want to be a racist, you can hide behind whatever you want. But if you are a parent standing up to the indoctrination of your children, there are groups that will sick the military after you. Now, I don't want to paint all teachers or even all school boards with too broad a brush. Like many situations, a few bad apples are spoiling the entire barrel. But they're able to do that because we let them get away with it. And now there are reports coming out that there's going to be teacher shortages. That was a report from the National Education Association, one of the two large teachers unions, is expecting teacher shortages. Not just veteran teachers who are walking away, they've just had too much, but even teachers who've been teaching a year are fed up. They're fed up with the whole mess. Now, I don't know if this has to do with the masking. I don't know the details. The report I'm seeing doesn't give the details of why they're claiming they want to leave. But my guess is the ones that are most likely to leave are the ones least likely to be okay with the current nonsense agenda. Now, there's a lot going on here, and I've dropped a lot of bombs on you today, but I want to roll something back a little bit. See, a lot of this, I believe, goes back to when we allowed the federal government to illegally meddle in education. Education is not a power delegated to the United States. So when the Department of Education was created by Congress, that was a legislation repugnant to the Constitution. It was void, but we let it happen. We let it continue, and we let it grow more and more influence over our schools and therefore over the education of our children. Now, I want to look at a report. I want you from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Paul, what does the Bureau of Indian Affairs have to do with the education system? Well, recently, the Bureau of Indian Affairs released a report detailing how the federal government applied systematic, militarized, and identity alteration methodologies in the federal Indian boarding school system to assimilate American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian children through education. The federal government has done this before. They have applied a systematic identity alteration methods to change, to assimilate other racial groups. Aren't they the same techniques that are being used today to assimilate our children into lifestyles promoted by the woke agenda, into judging everybody based on the color of their skin, into not understanding that there are only two sexes, and if we don't understand that, the human race doesn't continue? It's being done before. It's being done again. And you want to see the example? Here's another example. So we already know that the federal government did this to the American Indians and the Alaskans and the Hawaiians. What about the Biden administration telling K-12 schools they must allow boys in the girls' bathrooms if they want to get federal lunch program money? You talk about a disgusting, perverted abuse of authority. First of all, the federal government shouldn't be funding lunches, the lunch program. Lunches, breakfast, snacks. It's not a power delegated to the federal government. But here we have the powers that be playing identity politics with children's food. Tell me this isn't let them eat cake. If you want federal money, they bribe the states with federal money. They get them hooked on the federal money. Then they say, if you don't do what we want, you're not going to get your federal money. Just imagine somebody walking up to you and saying, listen, hey, you want to feed your kids? All you got to do is, do something sick, perverted. Tell me this isn't a modern remake of Indecent Proposal. Where a billionaire offered $1 million to a young couple in order to spend one night with the wife. Hey, school districts, states, you want $1 million to help feed hungry children? All you got to do, I'm not going to ask you to sleep with your wife. All you have to do is let boys into the girls' room. All you have to do is ignore the history of humankind, the basic fundamentals of biology. All you have to do is give up your rights, your logic, any sense of science and reason, and we'll pay you for it. If that isn't extortion, I don't know what is. But the only reason the federal government can extort these schools is because we let them bribe them with money they illegally took. Again, Congress can only collect taxes for three purposes: to pay the debts of the United States, provide for the common defense of the United States, and for the general welfare of the United States. The United States is a proper noun for the Union. It's the exact same language in the 10th Amendment that says any power not delegated to the United States is reserved to the states or to the people. We let this happen. This started out as a small problem, an illegal, unconstitutional act by Congress, signed by a president, is now metastasized into organized crime. Face it, this puts the Godfather movie to shame. What's next? If they don't allow boys in the girls' locker room, some principal's going to wake up with a horse head in his bed? Are they going to get Merrick Garland? Is he going to get the FBI to take somebody out for a ride and they never come back from? Take them on a boat on a lake? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the state of our country. And this is what your children are being indoctrinated with. The Biden administration says you will indoctrinate your children with transgender ideas or we will not give you money to feed the poor, period. That is the most disgusting, vile abuse of a power they never should have had in the first place. That's why the federal government was never meant to be involved in this. And the fact that we, the people, let it happen has led us to this state. Since we let it happen, we have to fix it. So when Secretary of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra, told a Senate committee that children should decide for themselves if they want a sex change. A child should have the opportunity to have life-altering drugs and surgery without the parents' knowledge, without the parents' consent. Tell me they're not indoctrinating their children into this lifestyle. Not only that, he seems to support cutting off perfectly healthy tissue, perfectly healthy organs. He calls that health care and wants the taxpayers to pay for it. This is what's being driven into your child's mind. The use of unapproved drugs, puberty blockers, for a child to decide for themselves. They didn't want people using ivermectin because it was unapproved. They threatened doctors' licenses for prescribing ivermectin, which has a decades-long history of safe use. But here he is, he wants to use unapproved puberty blockers to permanently alter the children of this country. This is the disgusting, perverted mess that has now pushed its way into our education system. I'm not saying it's all the federal government's part. They have a large part of it. We have a large part from the states. We have a large part from the unions that have promoted this, from the schools that have trained our teachers into this nonsense. But ultimately, it's the American people that have sat by and watched this happen. See, my wife and I, as I said, we made a conscious decision. We were not going to subject our child to that. Yes, it cost us time and effort and money, and I would not trade it for the world. My daughter is a beautiful young woman, smart, well-rounded. We're always hearing from people she meets, different groups, that just love, tells how much they love her, how great she is. She teaches, and the students love her. Wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade all the pain, all the extra. I wouldn't. Now, not everybody's in my situation. Not everybody can afford to do that. You've got single moms. You've got families that require both incomes. They can't do it. I understand. The question is, what are we going to do to regain control of our education system? To return control to the parents? To make it illegal, criminal complaint for teachers and educators and administrators to hide information from the parents, to indoctrinate children against the parents' will. I'm not saying there aren't situations where the state needs to get involved, but there's a due process way of doing that. If a parent truly is being abusive to the child, there are due process methods of dealing with that. But this idea that government bureaucrats own your children, that they know better than you how they should be raised, should be so repugnant to every American that we should do whatever we can to save our children from the government education cesspool. There are people crying and screaming, saying, we need to do something to save the children from these gunmen. How about we save them from government schools? How about we find out a way? And again, try different ways. I don't have all the answers. But we should be looking, going, if these schools are so bad, we must be able to change them. And if there are those in government that get in our way, they need to be fired. If you support the sexualization of our children, the perverting of our children, the indoctrinating into a lifestyle that is that ignores scientific reality, that believes that the children should effectively be taken from their parents when the parents have done nothing wrong, then you don't believe in liberty and freedom. You're a totalitarian tyrant. You're a fascist. And America has to decide whether or not we are going to be a government-ruled, government-controlled, government-indoctrinated fascist society or the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, you may sit back and, well, there's nothing I can do. Yeah, there is. No, you can't fix Washington. You probably can't fix your state house, but you can certainly work with your local school board. Look the children in the eye and tell them you are unwilling to do something to save them from the indoctrination by these government bureaucrats. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve freedom. We're going to support liberty, rationality, scientific debate, and we'll do all we can to oppose the degrading of our children into little more than meat puppets, to be shaped and molded the way the state thinks, to serve a state function, to become part of a state machine, rather than beautiful, free people that have futures of their own, ideas of their own. Who knows how much we are losing as we let government degrade us all to the lowest common denominator of filth. The choice, America, is yours. I've made the choice. My family has made the choice. We have made the investment. But we can't do it alone. And if you want to find out more, join us at the Constitution Study, constitutionstudy.com. Find all the resources. Ask questions. Become part of the solution, not simply part of the problem. And be sure, please, to make AmericaOutloud.com your regular stop, your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. See, it's more important than ever that we are involved, that we do our part, that we share this information, the stories, the articles, the videos, the podcasts, that we do all we can to help secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.